Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading. To order The Juice for your classroom or family, visit us at thejuicelearning.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive of us.
It's great to be back.
Today we're going to be taking a look at The Juice. You know, that educational app that kids are using these days.
Yeah, seems to be pretty popular.
Yeah, and we thought, you know, it'd be interesting to kind of get a peek into what are some of the stories these kids are reading, and maybe it'll spark some conversations, you know, around the dinner table or even in the classroom.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mix of content, you know, everything from art to global issues to very personal stories.
Okay, well, the first story that caught my eye, I have to admit, I kind of chuckled when I saw this one. It's about a banana. Not just any banana, but a banana duct taped to a wall that sold for $6.2 million.
Oh.
It's called Comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And the buyer was this cryptocurrency mogul named Justin Sun.
Now, I've heard of this, so this isn't even like the original banana, right?
Oh.
Like, the original banana is long gone.
Exactly. He bought the concept.
So interesting.
Isn't that wild?
I mean, so he didn't buy the banana. He bought, like, the idea, and each buyer recreates the piece of the banana is replaceable.
Yeah.
It's the idea, the commentary on value that is the artwork.
Yeah, it's like buying the punchline to the joke, not the comedian telling it.
Exactly. And I think that could be a great discussion starter for kids about art.
Oh, totally.
You know, about creativity and even about, like, the economics of the art world, like what gives art its value.
And it even art, right? I mean, it makes you think of all these other conceptual art pieces, like, you know,
right,
the invisible sculptures and things that people are selling for thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, is it satire of the art market? Is it a joke or is it both?
It's definitely pushing boundaries and challenging traditional notions of what we consider art, and whether you appreciate it or not, you know, it sparks a conversation. And, you know, oftentimes that is the whole point of art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on to a completely different tone here. We've got a story about a young woman named Jula.
Okay.
Who inherited her father's massive vinyl record collection after he passed away.
Oh, wow.
We're talking 10,000 records.
That's incredible.
A lot of records.
Yeah. What a way to remember her dad, though.
And that's kind of the point of the story, right? Is how
objects
can sort of become these emotional anchors connecting us to people who are no longer with us.
Like a physical representation of the memories you have.
Exactly. And for her, you know, listening to these records was a way to connect with his memory, to feel close to him, to grieve even.
I love that it's beautiful.
Yeah. And she didn't, you know, keep this to herself. She started sharing her experience on social media, and a lot of people resonated with it.
Of course, because so many people have, you know, those objects and those things that remind them of people they've lost.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's so powerful about this story, is that it's something so simple as listening to music, but it can bring people together.
Right.
And offer comfort during really difficult times.
It makes you think about, you know, what objects do I have? What objects do my kids have that kind of meaning behind them?
Totally. And it reminds us that, you know, sometimes the things with the most meaning aren't the things that are valuable, like in a monetary sense.
No, it's very personal and sentimental.
Yeah. Okay, so now for something a bit more philosophical.
Okay.
The quote of the day in The Juice today is from Bruce Lee.
All right, I'm ready.
I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times.
No, that's a good one.
It is.
I feel like, you know, you might not think Bruce Lee and art, you know, have much in common, but that quote really does apply to both.
Yeah.
Because it's about, you know, dedication and focus and mastering those fundamentals.
It's not about being a jack of all trades.
Exactly.
It's about being a master of one.
You know, I think this could be a good lesson for kids.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a sport or a musical instrument or academics.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, personal skills like communication or problem solving.
Yeah.
You know, the message is you practice and you focus and you can achieve mastery.
Right. And it's not just for kids, right? Like, we can all benefit from that reminder as adults.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That maybe instead of trying to do everything at once, we should pick one or two things that really matter and give those our full attention.
Exactly. And, you know, it doesn't mean we can't explore different interests, but when it comes to achieving true mastery in something, you know, that dedication is key.
Okay. So let's shift gears a little bit now to a story that's stirred up quite a bit of controversy, a Bible-influenced curriculum
oh, yeah.
being introduced in Texas elementary schools.
This one has definitely got people talking.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a very complex issue with strong arguments on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, the what supporters, they see this as a valuable part of a classical education, arguing that understanding the Bible is crucial to understanding Western literature and art and history.
I mean, it's kind of like saying you can't fully appreciate the Sistine Chapel ceiling without knowing the stories from the book of Genesis.
Exactly. And so, you know, even if you're not religious, understanding the Bible is essential to understanding Western culture.
But of course, you know, the critics are concerned about the potential for bias in indoctrination.
Right.
You know, they say that public schools should be secular spaces where students are exposed to a variety of viewpoints and not just one religious viewpoint.
Yeah, and that's a really important point, too.
So it brings up a lot of questions, mm-hmm. right? Like, where's the line between education
mm-hmm.
and religious instruction?
Right.
How do we ensure that a curriculum is balanced and presents these different viewpoints?
Yeah. Are we giving, you know, equal weight to different perspectives?
Right. And I think this could be a really good discussion to have with kids about the role of religion in society.
Uh-huh.
You know, religious freedom and really the importance of critical thinking when encountering different perspectives.
Yeah, teach kids to think for themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to something a little lighter now. AAA is predicting record-breaking Thanksgiving travel numbers this year.
Wow, really?
It seems that those lower gas prices might be encouraging people to hit the road.
Makes sense.
And visit family and friends.
Yeah.
However, there is a chance that those travel plans could be disrupted by some not so festive weather forecasts.
Oh, no. So instead of turkey and pumpkin pie, it might be flight delays and traffic jams.
You got it.
It really makes you wonder, is all that travel worth it?
It does. And it could be a good opportunity to talk with kids about the impact of all that travel,
mm-hmm.
you know, both good and bad.
Right.
On the one hand, you know, it boosts the economy. It allows families to connect.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it contributes to traffic and, you know, air pollution and stress.
It's environmental impact in general, right?
Absolutely. And it's also a good example of, you know, how our world is so interconnected.
Right.
You know, events in one part of the country, like a snowstorm in Chicago,
yeah.
can have these ripple effects on travelers all over.
That's true.
So it's a really good example of how seemingly simple actions like deciding to travel for a holiday can have these wider implications.
Yeah, I like that you could talk about like responsible travel with kids.
Oh.
And how, you know, think about their choices and how
yeah.
they impact, you know, their community and the environment.
Absolutely. Okay, so back to a serious global issue now.
Okay.
The UN Climate Change Conference recently reached a deal for wealthy nations to contribute $300 billion.
Wow.
To help poorer nations combat climate change.
That's huge.
It is a significant step forward.
Yeah.
In global cooperation to address this pressing issue.
For sure.
However, it's not without its critics.
Right.
Some argue that the amount pledged is simply not enough.
Yeah. I mean, given the scale of the problem.
Right. And, you know, the effects of climate change are already being felt worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And these developing nations are particularly vulnerable because they often lack the resources and the infrastructure
right.
to cope with things like, you know, extreme weather events and rising sea levels.
It's a question of, you know, fairness and responsibility too, right?
And
like who should bear the burden of, you know, addressing this?
Yeah. Should the countries that have contributed the most
what?
To climate change bear a greater responsibility for helping those most affected by it?
Right.
So it highlights these complexities of global cooperation
uh-huh.
and the challenges of finding solutions that balance the needs of all these different nations.
It's a lot to think about.
It is. And it's a great opportunity, I think, to discuss this idea of, you know, global citizenship with kids
so,
and help them understand that our world is so interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though these issues can seem overwhelming,
yeah.
everyone can contribute to finding solutions.
Right.
Whether it's through, you know, individual actions like reducing our carbon footprint
mm-hmm.
or advocating for policy changes, we can all play a role.
For sure.
In creating a more sustainable future.
It's about, you know, giving kids that sense of responsibility and empowerment,
yep.
encouraging them to be informed citizens and to make a difference.
Totally. Well, that is a lot to unpack from just a few stories in the juice.
I know, right? It's amazing how much is packed into this app.
It is. It's really a testament to the breadth and depth of information being shared with kids today.
It's really encouraging to see that.
It is. So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of the juice. We hope you enjoyed getting a glimpse into what's capturing the imaginations of young people today.
It's inspiring to see what they're learning and exploring.
And we hope it's inspired you to think about your own one kick and to go after those dreams with everything you got.
So until next time, keep those minds curious, keep those hearts open, and keep reaching for those stars.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.